In this week's Africa Update, we learn how Muslims in South Africa are responding to the furor over a Danish cartoon depicting the Prophet Muhammad. Also, a look at land reform in Zimbabwe. Here's NPR's Farai Chidea.
Violence continues to flare across the Muslim world, weeks after European newspapers reprinted cartoons mimicking the Prophet Muhammad. Muslims view the portrayal as blasphemous, and street demonstrations are mounting. In a matter of days, they've spread from Asia and the Middle East to Europe and Africa. For more, we're joined by our regular commentator from the continent, NPR's Charlene Hunter-Galt in Johannesburg. Welcome.
Thank you, Farai.
So, Charlene, I understand that Cape Town Muslims have also taken to the streets to protest these cartoons, which first appeared in a Danish publication last summer. But there's a backlash. Tell us what's going on in South Africa.
Well, this controversy has ensnarled South Africans in one of its most wrenching debates, and it's created one of the first major tests of the principle of free speech guaranteed in South Africa's relatively new 11-year-old constitution. As far as I know, this is the only country in the world where a judge preemptively banned publication of the cartoon after a Muslim organization launched an appeal. Now, the judge is a Muslim, and he said that the right to dignity, both for an individual and a group, was more important than the right to freedom. But the South African media community reacted with shock and dismay to the ruling, calling it a serious blow to freedom of speech, and they plan to appeal the ruling later this month.
So how many Muslims are there in South Africa?
2% of the total South African population, or between 1 million and 1.5 million Muslims, are in the country. So it's a small percentage of the total population, but they are very organized. About 30,000 of them demonstrated last Thursday in Cape Town, and the president of the Muslim Judicial Council there said that at this march that they considered this one of the greatest moments of their lives because they were defending the honor and personality of their prophet.
Now, South Africans, black South Africans, are working to regain land taken by whites during the apartheid era. Tell us more about that.
Well, that's been going on since this new government came to power in 1994, but the pressure has been mounting on the government to speed up land reform. So in his State of the Union address, the president addressed what is one of the thorniest issues facing the country since the end of apartheid, land reform. He said that the Ministry of Agriculture would review the willing seller, willing buyer formula, prompted in part by the pressure of a backlog of some 7,000 land claims. So the National Land Commissioner has announced that the government would begin expropriating farms next month in March in cases where negotiations had stretched beyond 6 months.
Well, before you go on, explain what you mean by willing seller, willing buyer.
Well, it's an old principle, and it's been employed especially in post-colonial times in Africa, giving the government, a government, the right of first refusal in purchasing farms where the owner is willing to sell, you know, because during colonial times, whites just took over black property. But in South Africa, as well as in Namibia in particular, people waiting to be resettled have just found this process too slow.
Now, isn't this issue of land reclamation really what sparked Zimbabwe's current political problems?
Well, that's what it came to. I mean, when Zimbabwe, for a complex set of reasons, which I won't go into now, but it abandoned the willing seller, willing buyer principle that led to wrenching, violent confrontations between the landless blacks and whites who own the farms. And so that led to the seizure of some 4,000 white farms, which all but destroyed the country's agricultural sector the way it was done, if not the country itself. And even last week, the Zimbabwean government announced that they were going to go ahead with even more seizures.
Let's end on an up note. Mauritania, good news. What is it?
Well, good news because, well, first of all, Mauritania is a tiny country in the West African desert, and it's as poor as they come, not least due to an invasion of locusts in 2004 that took out its entire agricultural zone, which caused almost three-quarters of its people to need donor food aid. But it's about to become Africa's latest oil producer, with its fields expected to produce some 75,000 barrels of oil a day over the next 10 years. And it's anticipated that this will generate something like $750 million. Now, this could mean a lot for a country of just under 3 million people. Now, The country's president, though, has said that sound management of this resource is a moral imperative. But the big question is, does that mean that Mauritania's oil wealth will be used to uplift its people, or will it go the way of so many other oil-rich countries in Africa, benefiting international oil companies and a few well-placed officials, but not the people? Now, Farai, I know we're supposed to avoid cliches in this business, but I have to say in this one, only time will tell.
All right, Charlene, thank you so much. NPR Africa correspondent Charlene Hunter-Galt is a regular News and Notes contributor. Thank you again, Charlene.
You're welcome, Farai.
That was NPR's Farai Chidea.